Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you, everyone. This is Minister Jay Miller. I'm so glad that you joined us tonight. Stay tuned after the song I Am the Treasure. And we'll be right back. God bless you all.
From the day I was born,
everyone is safe out there. Me and my family, we've been praying for the people that have been going through different, you know, tragedies based upon this storm. And we're hoping that you're safe. Just praying that, you know, things is working out, that people's electricity is coming on as they can get it fixed. I know they got people working out there real hard. And we appreciate, you know, all the efforts that everyone is putting in to help one another. I believe this is a great time for us to show the love of God in this time and to put our differences and disagreements to the side and help someone that's in need, whatever way that we're available and able to. And I believe it's really needed in this time. Being here in Jersey, you know, from Trenton, New Jersey, just going down one street, one house, the whole face of the house just came off, you know what I mean? It just, a lot of people have been hit kind of hard through this. I'm praying for the people in Atlantic City, Ocean City, New York City. A lot of water damage, a lot of trees down. We pray for the families that lost loved ones during this storm. But it's something that's so great that I believe, just in my opinion, that it's something how regardless of how much technology man might have or how much intellect and how smart he may think he is or what he has discovered or what he has invented or whatever, one thing that we've seen that man was not able to do, and that was stop this storm from taking place. And to me, when I look at stuff like that, it just lets me know that there is a higher power, a higher being than man itself. Because this whole situation, man couldn't do nothing about it. All he can do is help build back up what was destroyed and help with the result of everything that has taken place. That's just a thought for Minister J. Miller in my mind. Right now, our other hosts, let's welcome our brother Aaron, the Devil's Advocate, Bradley, on the line.
What's
good? Going on, man? What's going on with
How's
you, bro?
How's it going? How's everything?
Good, man. Good. Good, man. Good. How about that way, man? Things as well.
It's a lot better. Everybody's starting to get their electricity back. Not everybody, but more people than yesterday and earlier today. So that's a good thing. They, you know, cleaning up, doing everything that they got to do to basically get everything back up and running.
Yeah, man. I was just looking at, man, how much I was on the looking online. You see all them cabs in New York City, man, that was flooded.
Yeah, it's
underwater, man.
It's crazy.
It's crazy, man. The subways, transportation. I mean, just it's a lot. It's a lot that has taken place, and there's, you know, being certain places, people are really, really feeling this, like way more than what we are. You know what I mean? Thank God.
Yeah, for
some
sure.
of us, we only experience lights out. You know?
Yeah.
You know, we didn't have
people
no blood
lost
damage.
Homes.
Yeah.
You know, this isn't the first time, and I'm quite sure this isn't going to be the last time.
You know
what I'm saying? So, you know, we just got to learn how to prepare and better learn how to, you know, cope with situations like this and, you know, try to find ways to prevent the most damage as possible. And try to alleviate, you know, the type of damage that usually happens around this time when things like this happen. So, you know, as time progresses, hopefully, you know, we'll come up with some answers to, you know, fix some of these situations and problems that come about when a certain type of natural disasters happen.
Yeah, man, that's something. Wow,
that
is something. I was sitting here. And I was looking out in the storm. My family was asleep. Everybody was asleep in the house. I was the only one that was maybe up about 4 o'clock in the morning. And just looking at how strong the winds was blowing and everything like that. And I actually was asking myself, like, what could man do to actually stop what I was seeing? Like what could be done to stop something like that?
Well, me personally, I don't think anything can actually stop it. Man or anything.
That's what I was saying.
Something. Yeah, that anything necessary can stop. I think what we can do is, like I said, alleviate some of the damage that natural disasters may actually have. But, I don't know. I mean, who's to say 20 years, 30 years from now, you know, we might have, you know, some type of technology where we can slow down storms and you know, allow storms not to be as severe and powerful as they are at times. I mean, who says? I mean, I don't know. You know, so.
Yeah, if that's possible, I know right now we ain't nowhere close to that. I don't believe.
No, I mean, you know, they do all the things that they can to try to find out about storms and how storms work, and you know. I'm quite sure, you know, we're very, 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 very determined creatures, and we're willing to strive to figure out and just about anything. And you give us enough time, and most likely we will.
Guess what, man? Guess who we got on the line waiting to come on with us, man?
Who?
Brother Dave. Dave.
Okay, Mr. Dave.
Dave, what's good, Dave?
He tried to get me to come on.
What's going on, Dave?
What's up, man?
Yeah, don't try to, like, thought you was going, like, creep on the line tonight.
Nah,
lay
I
back
going
in the cut.
Up.
Lay back in the cut.
I'm chilling, man. You got to understand, we got a flock of young men listening to y'all right now.
Well, that's
yeah,
great,
no
man.
Doubt.
That's great. We welcome everybody on the line, man. Like I said, you know, this Dirty Church Radio, man. With no issue, what topic is out of bounds, you know what I mean? I mean, tonight's topic is dealing with should Christians celebrate Halloween, but it's many different areas and different angles we can go to, and not only that, we still open to ask any questions or any talk about any issues that any brothers that are willing to call in here, if they want to talk about or if they want to tell a story about an experience, something they went through. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anything, man. We open. It's Dirty Church Radio.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So this is a place, man, where people can voice what's in their mind. A lot of times, that happens a lot of times with brothers, men, a lot of times we hold a lot of stuff in. You know what I mean? And we never really get a chance to let some stuff out. And the next thing you know, we hold so much in to the point where we finally just snap. And we snap.
Yeah.
And we cause a lot of damage. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When we finally snap, because we never, you know, actually let all that frustration and all that stuff that we've been holding in so long, man, out. You know what I mean? And that's one thing, another angle I look for on Dirty Church Radio, too, is where people can talk and say some things, man, that they haven't been able to confront. And they want to actually get it out, and they can say it without being judged or without being, you know, cast down and stepped on. You know what I mean? Like that, man.
Right.
So that's a great thing. Some people, once you open your mouth and say something, they ready to open your mouth and make you bite on the side of the curb and step on the back of your head. You know what I mean? Do you real dirty, you know what I mean? But listen, man, we appreciate, you know, the brothers that, you know, would even share their time with us and come on and listen to us, man. You know what I mean? So we appreciate it all, man. And they welcome any time, man, to call in Dirty Church Radio.
What was your I don't know who on the radio station right now, but what was your guys' point of view on
Halloween,
basically?
Say that again?
What was your guys' point of view on Halloween?
Dealing with the topic, should Christians celebrate Halloween?
Oh, well, we just came on. We really didn't even get into that, really. We're about to go into that right now, you know, talk about it.
Yeah,
you know,
since he asked, yeah, what do you first want to share about it, Jay?
I first want to say, when it comes to Halloween, you got people that look at it from different ways. You know what I mean? You got some people, you know, who actually just look at it as fun. You know what I mean? Because I mean, it's just fun, something to do. They look at it like as if I was going to see a scary movie or if I was going to the movies. They look at the day as no different than that. Everyone doesn't actually look back to the root of how a lot of stuff start. You know what I mean? When you go back in history, and we got a brother from Michigan that calls in on the show, and he always stresses whatever you get yourself involved in, search the origins of it. Trace it back as far as you can go to find out how it started. You know what I mean? Who started it? You know, and those type of things like that, man. So tonight, you know, we got our brother Devil's Advocate on here. You know, he going to talk a little bit and mention about some studies because he's done a little study on this before. I'm going to talk about a few things that, you know, I've read or come along. And then we want to just actually start dealing with the personal views of people, how they actually look at it, how they feel about it. You know, we want people to call in from the church. Do you believe, while you're celebrating this this holiday? Do you feel as though you're building up Satan's kingdom? Or do you feel as though this is the will of God for you to do this? You know what I mean? Is this by you celebrating this? Because when you look at Halloween, you got a lot of people who look at this day or who've looked at this day as a day of the festival of the dead, where, you know what I mean? Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, yeah, they look at it as a festival of the dead, where during these times, this is a time where portals open, where the dead gain access to our world, different spirits, different things like that. So it's a lot of history when you're dealing with this topic. It's a lot of things, just like even with All Saints Day. It was this thing called souling, where kids, the poor kids, would go around and they would have cakes and they would knock on the door and they would, like, you know, get cakes or give cakes. And these cakes represented someone that died. And it was like the cake was represented to actually, they would pray for the dead, their dead loved ones. So they would knock door to door. And you know how when you go trick-or-treating, you knock door to door, but you ain't giving no cakes. But it's a lot of stuff just that we're going to talk about as we do it because we were raised, we were born in a time, and once we, you know, we start growing up, we see these things around us, and we just start doing them because sometimes we have no choice. When you was a kid, your mom, parents, they put a costume on you, you went trick-or-treating, whatever, it was that. But they didn't actually sit you down and just tell you the whole history about it. You just looked at it as fun. I'm going to get candy, I'm going to eat. So, you know, we just going to do a little searching, just talking about some things as the conversation goes on.
Yeah, you know, and I could bite off a lot of stuff you said about that. You know what I mean? My main thing is I ain't never celebrate Halloween. You know what I mean? That wasn't a big holiday to me. You know what I mean? But it's crazy you brought it up. I didn't even know that's gonna be your topic tonight. I've been reading about it all day, just seeing posters on Facebook. And one lady put on Facebook, she actually said she commented, she posted on her pastor's page and was asking, what is Halloween? Can you give me the meaning of Halloween, and should we celebrate it? You know what I mean? You know, I could have, but I didn't comment on it. What I know, I don't, you know what I mean? What I know is, you know, basically, I think Halloween came from basically, like you said, Holy Eve on Saints Day. You know, the problem is now is like, We as black people, we just take any holiday and we just celebrate it and we don't know the meaning of it. Not just Halloween, Christmas, any holiday, you know what I mean? We just don't know the direct meaning of it, so we just go about what we was always taught as little kids and growing up, you know what I mean? I always celebrated All Saints Day, which, you know what I mean, I understand it is a feast, you know what I mean? We all get together, we have fun, and we celebrate All Saints Day different from Halloween, you know what I mean? It's just a big feast where all our families come together and we have a good, awesome time. You know what I mean?
But you know something, it's even deep. As I was reading, even when you deal with the All Saints feast, when they was selling cakes and stuff, you got to understand, it all depends on which place you was living in, because when you go back in time, like over 2,000 years ago, the Celts in Ireland, like, they had, it was something where it started out, too. I don't know if Aaron read about this, where it had something to do with their crops or something in harvest time.
Yeah, it was called harvest. It was during the time of harvest, basically, around the end of November October to November 1st and November 2nd was during the time that people actually got all of their harvest and all of their food. And once they did that, because it was harvest time. So this particular day was considered to be harvest day, because this is when everybody would gather up their food and they will all eat it together, and they would celebrate it. But that was, like Jay just said, it was one part of a culture, and another part of a culture did something else, and another part of a culture did something else. And then basically, as time progressed, this certain holiday meant different things to different cultures. You know, now it has trickled down to our culture, and the meaning of it is totally watered down and it's totally different. Today, our culture is basically kids go out, kids dress up as characters, sometimes scary, sometimes princesses, and sometimes kings and queens and all this stuff like that. And they go out and they get candy from our people, and they eat candy, and they come home and they eat the candy. That's basically what it has been watered down to our culture today. But like I said, it's so many cultures. The Mexican culture, theirs is actually called Dia de los Muertos. And that's basically when they, during this time, this is when they celebrate their lost ones, the people that died in their family. And they have a huge parade, and it's basically to commemorate all of the people that died in their families. So it just depends on, you know, where you actually want to take it at. I know Dave said earlier, it's not just Halloween, it's all holidays. You know, all holidays are different, and it trickled down to our generation and other types of cultures, and it means different for different cultures and different generations. So
that's true. And you got, even like right now, you got some people in somewhere in part of this world, in a lot of places, where the whole cemetery is lit with candles, and it's food at every tombstone, because they actually feel as though they're feeding their family members whose souls are in purgatory.
And that's good.
You also got to remember.
Yeah.
Jay, this is Keith. How you doing, man?
Yo, what's going on, Keith, man? What's going on, Keith?
I've been listening ever since Dave got on. I've been listening, but I heard what Aaron said, and that was deep. But like, from my experience, I could just speak from North American culture, because you know that's all we know. My take on it is, over the years, and like Dave said, not just Halloween, but Christmas holidays in general, have become so watered down and commercialized, and is really just geared to generate money. And it really drove it home for me when I was watching the news. And for y'all that don't know, I live in Jersey, where we just had the hurricane. Governor Christie actually postponed Halloween until next week.
Wow.
If you really think about it, what is Halloween really? It's not an observation of the day. What Chris Christie did was he just said, kids, don't go out and get candy today. We're going to go out next week. So what power really is it that you put in a holiday? But if you study and you know what you're observing and you learn more about Halloween, and I told my mother this earlier, I said, whether these kids go trick-or-treating or not today, Halloween is tonight. They took the spirituality out of it completely, and they just think that it's all fun. And it's not, like, there's a deeper meaning, but they don't want to get into that because that's scary. That's too real. That'll scare kids.
Can I cut you for a minute? It's crazy that, you know what I mean, one man has that much power to switch a holiday, you know what I mean, just for us over here. I was just thinking, how serious will people take if we say All Saints Day is next week? You see what I'm saying? Like, how serious will people take that? Would they just brush it off, or would they go with it?
The thing is with that, Dave, is that's just the surface. Like, Chris Christie can say what he want, but until midnight tonight, it is Halloween. And when midnight comes, it's All Hallows Eve or All Saints Day, whatever you want to call it.
But if you think about it, I haven't seen a lot of kids out today. You know what I mean? Like, really, I haven't seen a lot of kids. Not like they used to last year and the years before. You would see a lot of kids around this time outside, you know what I mean? But
just like Keith said, it literally was postponed until next week, Monday. I know my kids, they usually have their Halloween parties in school, but a lot of their Halloween parties are going to be postponed until next week because of all the hurricanes. So it's not necessarily Chris Christie is actually taking the holiday away. They're more so celebrating it for the kids in the sense of, you know, candy and doing stuff with the local and private schools, dealing with that. But, again, it just depends on your culture and where you're from and how you celebrate it and what it means to you.
Yeah. Yo, guess what? Yo, when you were just talking about All Saints Day, it says, "Solely the custom of baking and sharing cakes for all Christian souls has been suggested as the origin of trick or treating. Groups of poor people, often children, would go door to door on All Saints Day or All Souls, collecting soul cakes, originally as a means of praying for souls in purgatory."
And you see how it was perverted over time and changed into something else?
Yeah, like now you knock on the door and you get a Snickers or, you know what I mean, you get a Twix. But it's not, you know, my thing is, how I'm looking at it,
I know where you're
so
going.
Many things that we do, right, that they completely wipe the origin of it away.
Wow. Wow.
You know what I'm saying? So, and then they reverse it and they make it sugar-coated and, like, laugh. You know, make it all, like, fun. And I'm just speaking from an angle, if looking at it from a different point of view. Like, if right now we going out and we trick-or-treating, we're having fun with our friends and everything, but no one tells you about this stuff. When I was younger, little, I ain't never heard nothing about souling and soul cakes. Soul cakes being, they was knocking on the door as collecting soul cakes, so they can use the soul cake to pray for souls that's supposed to be in purgatory of hell.
So
you know what I mean?
What,
like, if I
would
have known that, I wouldn't have wanted to do that if I'd known in my heart that that was actually supposed to be representing that. Not saying that it is representing that, but
the wild thing about it is that if you think about what you just said and if the listeners really listen to what you said, asking for soul cakes and trick-or-treating is two different concepts. Asking for a soul cake is a selfless act. It does you no good. You're doing that for somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
You go trick-or-treating, you want candy for yourself. You're not sharing. So you see what I'm saying? Like, they took the whole concept and flipped it. Like, you out for yours when you go trick-or-treating. A soul cake is for somebody who's not even here no more.
Hey,
wow.
So basically, if I'm understanding it right, so basically, Halloween was supposed to be basically, if I'm wrong, tell me I'm wrong. Halloween is supposed to be basically like a witnessing day, like basically, right?
Well,
a what day? Like a witnessing day, like basically, which you go out and you basically All Saints Day is like, well, Halloween is like for me to go to the houses and just give more than take. Is basically give them what they need and let them know about God and let them know we're celebrating this day because of whatever, right? Or am I wrong?
Well, like,
no, in a way, but they really was on it like my peoples is in purgatory. Like, I need a soul.
No, that was. I'm sorry. That was only coming from Catholicism. Catholicism actually. Kind of change the Halloween, the Harvest Day to basically All Saints Day, and they kind of put their spin on it. It was actually the Pope, I forget which Pope it was, but they actually put their own kind of spin on it. Like I said, depending on your culture, depending on what time, depending on who, what type of people you were, that's how you celebrated it. Some people didn't celebrate it at all. You know what I'm saying? It just totally depended on your culture, your time, and, you know, who you were, basically. And
it was Pope Gregory.
The Celtics. Excuse me?
Pope Gregory.
Yeah. The Celtics did it one way. The Spanish, the Mexicans and Brazilians did it another way. Americans do it this way. You know, so it's not necessarily, I mean, just depending on who you are, it's dependent on how deep you're actually going to take it and go with it, you know, because there are some people who are sadists, that people who worship Satan, and they actually use this day for satanic worship.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? It depends on who you are, what you're using it for in your culture. So it doesn't necessarily derive from something evil. It doesn't necessarily derive from something that's bad, you know, or good. It derives from who, whatever culture you're from, basically.
So let me pose a question to everybody out here, and I don't got kids, but if you had kids, would you be against letting your children go trick-or-treating? And look at this with an open mind. Would you be against letting your children go trick-or-treating if they were fully aware of the real meaning of Halloween, according to your culture? Like, if they weren't ignorant and they observed and practiced it, would you let your kids go trick-or-treating if they knew?
No, I would. I actually have kids. I've been a Christian all my life. I've grew up in the church, and my parents necessarily didn't celebrate it, but they didn't take us away from going out and, you know, trick-or-treating and getting candy. So I wouldn't necessarily take that away from my children. If their school is having a party and everybody's, you know, having cupcakes, and I'm not necessarily going to take my kid out of school that day just because they're celebrating Halloween. I think that's unfair, and I don't look that deep into it. When it comes to celebrating Halloween, me personally.
Okay. Now, me, how I look at it like this. With me, when it comes to Halloween, and when I grew up, I was able to go Halloween. We went out all the time and everything. But then, you know, as I'm getting older, you know, and hearing different things about it. Now, if you're looking at it from a spiritual point of view, and whatever church you go to, whatever that church teaches, or whatever the church believes, if they're teaching that, because some people use the scripture, abstain from the appearance of evil, things that appear evil. So don't connect yourself to things that have an evil representation of it. So if I'm a preacher or I'm saved and I'm supposed to be one that casts out demons and casts out devils, why would I send my children out dressed like what a demon is supposed to look like?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that they look like, I'm saying supposed to look like, or that's the image that is supposed to represent evil. Why would I dress my children up and let them go out into something that I believe has started from paganism and different things like that? When I preach, that is something that people need to get delivered from. So it's a two-way thing. Some people would say it's unfair because you did it with your child, so why would you rob your child of having, you know, youthful fun with their other children? Just because you go to church, you shouldn't force that upon your children. Let them, you know, enjoy life and be children. And then when they get a certain age, let them, you know, make the choice for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of puts you, if you're going to be
between a rock and a hard place.
Yeah, it kind of puts you in that awkward place. Because if you're in a church that believe that people can be possessed with demons or possessed with devils, and there's a whole lot of wickedness going on, you got a whole lot of killing going on out here, and then you got your children that want to dress up, your son or daughter want to dress up like a gangster for Halloween and represent something that is destroying society. So it's different ways. I mean, you can actually, like, look at it, but I believe like this. Like, in my house right now, my children, they're not out trick-or-treating. And since I've been married, whatever, I don't actually celebrate Halloween. I did when I was younger, but when I got older, I made a choice. That's not something that I'm really into. But I'm not deep to the point. I still watch scary movies. I still do stuff, but it's just something that, I mean, I personally choose not to do. And if my children, if they get older and they make a choice to go do that, it's not like I'm going to put their gun to their head, but I will still speak to them on what truth that I believe. And what
I have
believe
a question
to
for you.
True.
I'm sorry to cut you off. I have a question for you. You said you brought up a good point. You said you don't necessarily, except them going trick-or-treating. But when they get older, you know, they can choose for themselves. Well, trick-or-treating kind of falls under the same notion of, you know, scary movies and what scary movies stand for. But why is it okay for someone to watch scary movies and, you know, dealing with the same thing in a very negative way? I'm not talking about necessarily the concept of Halloween and some positive things that came out of it. But I'm saying, like, scary movies, very, very scary, very, very demonic, you know, all these type of things. You're okay with that, but you're not okay with letting your kids go out and trick or treat,
no,
and
I'm
they
talking,
don't want,
I'm
and,
about,
you know.
But with me, you understand, I don't let my children watch scary stuff, though.
No. I'm not talking about you.
Okay.
Yeah.
But like I told you, like to put it this way, when I look at Halloween, it's not like when Halloween came today, this week, I'm like, oh my God, Halloween coming around. Like, it's not like I put so much attention in the day. You understand what I'm saying? It's not like Halloween is something that I look at. I look at it as another day. I look at every day as a day of possible wickedness and evil that can take place. The Bible says evil is always present, so it's not actually about the day. But I'm talking about far as if I'm representing something, or if the house that I'm under, and I choose to be in that house, teaches against it, then I have to follow suit.
If that's the case and you're following suit, my thing is, scary movies is just as bad as Halloween. As a matter of fact, it's worse.
I disagree.
There's a difference between watching scary movies and actively participating in holidays such as Halloween. A very,
and
very big difference.
What's the difference in it?
Here's the difference. Say if Minister Miller didn't watch scary movies, he don't like watching scary movies, or he just doesn't watch scary movies because he feels as though that's demonic. That's kind of like turning a blind eye to the possibility of there really being wickedness in the world. Every movie you've ever seen was based off of something real, whether Stephen King made it up or whatever producer, movie writer you've ever come in contact with. That's different. If you prayed up, you know who you are in God, you could watch that type of stuff and be okay. He don't let his kids watch it, but this man is not going to go out of his house and actively participate in a holiday like Halloween. That's different from a scary movie.
I know. I understand what you're saying, but
just,
in the same sense, I would have to gracefully disagree with that, because in no kind of way is it different. If I am actively participating in going out and getting candy on a day that may or may not represent evil, is different from me watching a show that is based on maybe true events that represent evil. I don't know what the difference is.
Put it this way: I believe it's still a difference too, because if I turned on the news and it was it was the news and it was a serial killer on the news, and a whole bunch of people got murdered, and I'm watching it, and they're showing, talking about different stuff, and it's showing evil. It's showing murder. So, like, what would be, I don't look at me
no,
watching
because
that as
that,
the same as
because
Halloween.
The news, you're not watching it for entertainment. You are watching the news because you are trying to be safe. And you're saying, okay, well, this person is out there. I have to know.
Listen.
People
watch the news for entertainment too, though.
I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about you. and not only that, but you're saying that watching entertaining evil movies, literally evil, talking about devils and killing and all this stuff for entertainment, you're saying that that's totally different from going outside and getting candy from neighbors in your neighborhood.
No.
That's
my thing is like this.
Honestly.
So let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. So are you saying it like this? In a way I kinda agree with you somewhat, in a way, because let's say if a preacher's preaching against homosexuality and he's preaching. Oh, he's preaching on it. He's preaching on homosexuality, but then he takes. But then you get up and go to the movies and watch a man dressed up like a movie, like a woman, like Madea, or something like that. I'm just saying, and enjoy watching it and laugh.
Well, I'm sorry, but I'm just not going to participate in that one. I just won't. You can, you know, you can take that one. You know what I'm saying?
we can
definitely, you know, make another example. That example doesn't fly with me, but oh well.
Well, Aaron, if you put it that, I'm saying like Jay said, you should do anything. You should just cut the TV off, stay in the house, just don't do nothing at all. Everything around.
Well, no. We're actually talking about Halloween, and we're talking about Halloween, and then scary movies. In my eye, if you're looking at Halloween in a very negative, demonic way, then watching scary movies as entertainment it's the same exact. As a matter of fact, watching a movie to me would actually be worse because you're choosing to watch demonic stuff for entertainment.
I hear what you're saying, but any movie you watch, all you're watching is someone's thoughts in their mind.
Listen,
any movie.
I'm with you.
You're
totally with you. Yes, I'm totally with you. This is my thing.
It's not just scary movies. What I'm saying is like this. My whole thing is like this. When it comes to Halloween, and we're going to have to go into, you know, a little bit deeper stuff about it. My thing is like this. I would rather actually watch a movie than to actually say, when I watch a movie, I don't make it actually a tradition in my family where I have to actually go out and spend money on costumes and feel some type of way if I can't, because my kids is going to feel upset because I didn't get them costumes to go out on Halloween. You know what I mean? I don't look at the day like that. I look at it as another day, but I do know that whole Halloween day, it may have some good stuff that took place in it, but it does have bad roots about it too. It does have paganism stuff in it too.
The only thing I would say about that, two things. Number one, every major religion that we as Christians, celebrate has some type of pagan attachment to it. But not only that, but my thing is, this is just my thing. If it's something that you enjoy doing, whether you're a Christian, whether you're Muslim, whatever you are, you're going to make reason to accept it as being okay. And you have that right to do so. Some people say, hey, I don't necessarily agree with Halloween. Cool. But I like to watch scary movies. Hey, that's cool. You have some Christians that think all of that stuff is bad, and they will condemn you for doing both. You know what I'm saying? But then you say, nah. One is I don't necessarily agree with. The other one doesn't bother me. So on a personal level, it doesn't bother you, and it's okay.
Some people, you got to understand, even back in the day, going to the movies, period, in church was a no-no.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You couldn't go to no movie, whether it was comedy, like regardless of whatever it was.
That's what I said. It's all based on culture.
Let me ask you this, devil's advocate. Since you are the devil's advocate, so you know.
Oh my goodness!
Since you really know some stuff about this. Let me ask you this: How do you believe in ghosts?
No.
Do you believe in a spirit realm?
In what sense? In ghosts, because ghosts are spirits, aren't they? It's just another word for it.
I could be wrong. Well, what sense do you believe in the spirit realm?
I don't necessarily know. I've never seen a ghost, nor have I seen a spirit.
Do you believe
in anything? I don't necessarily know.
Do you believe there's an evil spirit?
What do you mean by evil spirit? I believe people are evil. Do I think that it comes from any type of ghost? I can't say yes. I can't say no. What I could say is I haven't seen any evidence for ghosts taking over people's, you know, bodies and you know, persuading them to do things. I don't know.
Okay. Now, you know, around this time of year, I know you've read. Do you know, like, around this time, it has been, like, recorded, like, a lot of people go missing during this time? And, like, they found, like, a lot of, you know, they find, like, remains, or they find a lot of people get missing, and they come out, a lot of human sacrificing goes on around this time.
Mm-hmm.
Animals and, you know, different things like that. It's like demonic
rituals.
Satanist rituals and different things like that. So
mm-hmm.
My thing is like this. When you came up in church, and I know you came up in church, you don't believe that there's any spiritual connection to it. And I believe, and I'm even going to go to the point where you was talking about movies, that because everything is in the mind, and if a seed is planted from something that you see that has a root, do you think that it's a possibility that it can grow and become something if that person begins to think on what they've seen?
Yeah, but because they see something doesn't necessarily coincide with a spirit jumping out of the TV or a ghost jumping out of you, persuading you to do stuff. I'm not saying that isn't true. I'm just saying there's no evidence for that. You would have to believe that. And if you believe that, that's your choice. That's whoever choice who believes that.
Okay. Dave, mm-hmm. You're still on the line, right, Dave?
He's still on the line. He moving something around the house right now.
Oh.
But to speak to what you just said about the movies, Jay, I know y'all remember the first time y'all ever seen The Exorcist.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Could you sleep right afterwards?
No, not when I was young. Nah.
So perception is a very powerful thing where you can see something and you know it's on a movie, but some part of your mind, like, materializes and manifests it as real to the point where you can't sit easy at night. So there's, I don't know, maybe that's the power of the mind, maybe that's spiritual suggestion. I don't know. That's up in the air.
I believe that your mind is that gateway or that portal where you can let those things in.
You feel like it's the mind or the eyes?
Well, the mind, your senses, your ears, I believe is the gateway inside. Just like you ever heard the saying, my grandmama used to say this, boy. She used to be like, boy, see, dead people can't hurt you, but they'll make you hurt yourself. Make you hurt yourself. The thought of it, of the possibility that if you walk through a graveyard, you've never actually seen a dead person come up and grab you, but what you've seen and what you heard, even through TV, will give you that scared feeling of the possibility, what if it was to happen? And that's where you open that portal for that fear to be able to come in.
And I don't necessarily disagree with you on that, but fear is one thing, but when you start talking about ghosts and talking about spirits, that's something that to some people who believe that is actually real. So it is something to be afraid of because it is real.
No.
For people who believe in that. So
that's what I'm saying.
It is real. But no, listen, in that sense, if it's just something that I fear, As I get older, I start to realize that this isn't real. So the fear kind of diminishes. But if I am the type of person who believes, I don't care how old I get, I would always, whether I see that thing ever manifest or not, I will always be fearful of it to some degree because I believe, even without any evidence, I still accept it to be real.
Let me ask you this. Have you ever experienced something, and this is for anybody in here, have you ever experienced something in however, whatever your age is, and you could think about as far as, think back as far as you possibly can, has there anything ever happened to you that scared you to a point, but it was no explanation? To this day, you don't even understand. It could have been after a loved one passed and a door slammed for no reason, and you don't see the possibility of why it slammed. Like, have you experienced anything that make you question your sanity?
Yep.
Who said yep?
Me, Advocate Mr. Man.
What?
I'm quite sure.
You
want to
talk about it?
A lot of that.
Can you talk about it?
I can always talk about things that I don't necessarily comprehend or understand.
Share with Dirty Church Radio. We want to hear what could have possibly been to advocate.
It doesn't necessarily mean that that it wasn't something that couldn't be explained. I just, at that particular time, a door, like you said, may have closed and I didn't close it. The TV may have cut on or shut off, and I'm not the one that actually cut it on or shut it off. A lot of eerie things has probably happened to me, some that I may remember, some that I can't remember, but I wouldn't necessarily attest it to some type of supernatural or demonic spirit or ghost. But, you know, when you're young, yeah, of course you think that. I used to think that all the time when I was little. I used to think that, you know, ghosts be, you know, sneaking up on me and doing crazy things. I mean, you know, that's the stuff you're supposed to think about. But, you know, I would think that the older we get, you know, the more mature we become, and we start to understand that, you know, without any type of physical evidence ever in our whole entire lives, we would know that, or we would understand that these things cannot be true. And there's millions and millions of other reasons and explanations behind anything that happened, opposed to it resorting to something spooky and mystical.
Well, let me ask you this, and I'm Keith.
Yeah.
Have you ever went somewhere and felt a feeling that made you very uncomfortable, like a very uneasy feeling, almost like
absolutely, absolutely. I went over a friend's house and I was talking to him, and I felt a presence in the room. Now, mind you, I've been at his house countless times, but it was this one particular night I went there, and I felt a presence in the room so strong it made me cringe. Now, it wasn't Halloween. It wasn't a night unlike any other night, but it was just something about that night, and I had watched no scary movies. Nothing suggestive entered into my subconscious the whole day. But when I got in that house and I sat down and I started talking, I felt so uncomfortable. I just knew it was something evil in the house, to the point where I said a prayer to myself and I told my friend that I had to leave, because that's how powerful it was. And I'm not even sure if they were aware that it was in the house, because they might not have been like that spiritually sensitive, but that will stick with me for the rest of my life, the feeling that I felt.
Wow. Wow. That's something that even to this day, like you have you ever asked yourself, like, what could that have been?
Oh, I'm pretty sure what it was. It was a spirit, and I mean, and there's no, because to me there was no rationalizing it, and I tried, like, till this day, I try to make it out to be something that it wasn't, but it was, and this is just what I believe, it was a spirit. Like, nothing ever made me feel that way before. And the corner of the room was empty. It was nothing in the corner. Nothing physically in the corner, but I felt a presence in the room. It was like it was three people in the room, but it was only me and my friend. And it was three presences in the room. And the third presence was not a good one.
Mm. So,
that sounds like a scary movie to me. Sounds like a scary movie to me.
Right.
Wow.
But nothing jumped out or attacked me or nothing like that. It was just present.
Mm.
What were you going to ask me, Jack?
Say that again? No,
what were you
going
to ask me?
No, the reason why I was asking those questions is I really even want some more people that might be listening out there. I mean, call in 773-897-6319. Because I just want to know, put it this way, my boy, he went to the haunted house in Mullica Hill that they got out in Mullica Hill, and it said it had like 6 attractions out there. And he called me up, and he was like, yo, Jay, man, this was the scariest thing I've ever experienced, like, in my life. And he was like, yo, even the fact that I knew that I was going to a haunted house, and I knew that this was these people's job. Once we stepped in there, it was like everything became real, no matter how much we tried to make it say that this is fake. You know what I'm saying? And he was like, yo, it was like when he went in there, it was like he actually felt like the evil of what everything in there represented, but it was like nothing, at all that he could do about it. But the more scared he got, the more his adrenaline craved for more.
I would say he got his money's worth.
Yeah, I'm just saying. He probably did get his money's worth. I'm just saying. But he was just saying how the mind is. And you know how you were just talking about movies, like why we watch movies? It seemed like it may be something on the inside that wants to push those limits to actually see if the unknown of what we're being entertained from, like, how far does it really go? You understand what I'm saying? Like, is it actually, I'm feeling this fear, and I know this is supposed to be fake, but I'm feeling this fear of this thing, regardless. And I'm a grown man, you know what I'm saying? I'm grown, and why am I actually feeling this thing? And that's the whole thing about tonight, what I was trying to, like, the show being about. Should Christians celebrate Halloween? And it's a good point that you said, even about with the movie thing, is according to the Bible and according to the scriptures and according to the faith, should we celebrate things that we preach against or we teach against?
Well, if that's the case, because most, like I said and somebody else said earlier, like most of the holidays that we celebrate, they're not necessarily rooted in what we see truth as today at all, not even Christmas. You know what I mean? And, you know, Christians didn't necessarily coin Christmas. So I mean, if that's the case, then you have to go down the line. You have to go down the spectrum, and you have to analyze every type of holiday that we actually celebrate. And if you were going to wipe out one for one reason, you got to wipe them all out. You know, for the same reason, you have to measure one holiday the same as you would measure another holiday. You know, but I think that would be totally, totally unfair and totally unrealistic to most people, especially Christians. I'm a Christian, and I know that, like I said earlier, Christmas didn't necessarily derive from Christian beliefs and ethics. So if that's the case, should I wipe out Christmas? Should we not celebrate Christmas anymore? No, I would never.
No, you want them gifts, and you want to give them.
Yeah, no, not even that. Just Christmas itself, the feeling of Christmas, the atmosphere of Christmas. I mean, yeah, of course, the gifts and the cost of giving. You know, it's a beautiful feeling.
What is the
gift
atmosphere?
My family and friends.
What is the atmosphere of Christmas to you, then?
To me personally?
Yeah.
Watching the kids have the same feelings you had when you were young. And making someone else feel that same way you felt when you were young. That's Christmas, and you know my Christmases were always good, and they were always happy and joyous and a good time. You know, even Halloween, all my Halloweens, every Halloween I experienced in my lifetime was a good Halloween. It was fun, I had spent time with my friends. Even in school, we had like little Halloween parties growing up. I mean, all of those memories were good to me,
Let me ask you this question, too. Have you ever heard of this thing? I came across this thing. I've been trying to find it. Have you ever heard of this? It's something that some doctor came up with or something. It's called a false positive and a false negative.
Yeah, I heard it before. I can't necessarily explain to you what it is per se, but I've heard it before.
It's something I'm trying to think of the example. I gotta find it, man. It was a real good. It was a real good, and I lost it on here. I had it, and I didn't put it in the. Normally, I put certain stuff in the bookmarks.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was going, when the power and stuff went out, normally the computer, it'd go back, it'd save what you, but I actually didn't actually hit on to it to actually, I just was reading like the front of it, the page. I didn't actually go into it, but it was talking about something, man, how the mind thinks.
People have to understand that is our mind. That's one of the things we least know about. We do know a substantial amount of how our brain works, but there's so much more that we actually don't know. We also only use a certain percentage of our mind, and we don't even, most people, layperson, don't even realize what their minds are capable of actually doing. There are people that actually, since we're talking about Halloween and since we're talking about, believing in ghosts and spirits and demonic stuff, there are people who can actually conjure up in their minds that certain things are actually real, literally real to them. No one else can necessarily see it around them, but the person who's actually suffering from this type of ailment mentally, they conceive something so real within their mind that it becomes true, and everybody else would look at them as being delusional, and they are delusional, but their mind tricks them and makes them feel as though this thing is actually in front of them or actually real. Just look at the effects that drugs can have on people. What people think that bugs are crawling over them. People think that they're on fire. People think that they can actually fly and jump off the roof. You know what I'm saying? So, our minds are well capable of doing just about anything.
Anything.
It can conceive anything, it's so, so, so much more than I'm quite sure than our minds. Minds can actually conceive. So.
Did you ever hear the story? I don't know how true it was, but about the man who actually he got locked inside of a freezer. He was locked inside of a freezer, and he began to freeze. And, like, he died. And they said he died from hypothermia, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the whole time, they said the freezer was unplugged. And that in his mind, he began to think he was freezing.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually created that death for himself in his mind.
Yeah, there's also things called a placebo effect. Basically what that is let's say someone says that, you know, they have a headache, and this headache is excruciating, and this headache is excruciating, and it hurts so bad. So the doctor gives them medicine. After the doctor gives them medicine, the person says that they feel 10 times better. But the medicine that they gave them was just a regular pill that had no effect on anything. It was just a placebo pill. It didn't necessarily cure headaches. It had nothing to do with anything. It was just a fake pill. But because the person thought that this pill would help them, they were cured from the headache.
Mm. That's deep. So let me ask you this. Would you say that being, you know, a Christian and based upon the Christian beliefs, that even when we connect ourselves to things that some would say is wrong, or, you know, the word of God or the preacher is preaching a certain thing, do you believe that coming from a Christian, asking you, and I'm asking you from a Christian, I'm not even asking you from the advocate.
Okay.
I'm asking you from the Christian point of view.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe that when a Christian involves himself in things like festivals that are not considered godly? Do you believe
like what kind of
that
festivals?
Let's say festivals that doesn't represent salvation, deliverance, festivals that doesn't represent God, festivals that doesn't represent living a godly life, living righteous. When an individual connects itself to something that is considered wickedness through the word, and whatever that may be, do you think that individual is building up the kingdom of Satan and tearing and helping tear down stones of God's kingdom?
I believe that the smart Christian, depending on what it actually is, no. I think that a very fundamental Christian, one who doesn't know too much about the history of the Bible and doesn't necessarily take everything that the Bible says in its literal sense, yes. I believe that those type of Christians should stay away from things that the Bible deems to be wrong. Everything that the Bible deems to be wrong, I think that those Christians should stay away from it. Do I think it's impossible? Yes, I think it's highly impossible. But it's their job as a Christian to try to sustain themselves from anything that the Bible says is wrong. Now, for a smart Christian, a Christian who's more versed biblically and who can actually take the biblical stories and understand
the
stories.
You said a smart Christian. So you're talking about a smart Christian and a dumb Christian.
That's what I'm explaining. Those type of Christians that can actually take the Bible within the context of what the Bible is referring to and saying, those type of Christians, depending on which scripture that they're referring to, which scriptures that they follow, which laws that they apply to themselves, and which laws that they say, well, these laws weren't considered to be me. For instance, certain laws talked about men who couldn't shave their heads. Now, if a Christian took the Bible to be literal and there were Christians that shaved their heads because they were going bald, then no, then they aren't following the Bible. But I think intelligent Christians would know the difference between the two. That's
okay. All right, and what type are the other Christians?
I said the more fundamental Christians, the Christians who basically follow everything that the Bible says. They're more of the fundamentalist theory. They are more of the ones who take the Bible in its more literal sense. And I just said, could they follow the Bible literally in every sense? I said, no, it's impossible. But as Christians, as those type of Christians, they should try to follow it as much as they can, you know, to sustain them from, you know, being put to you know, being put to a sinful life, I guess, and, you know.
Well, let me ask you this, Mr. Advocate.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we understand. I know you wouldn't say that. Do you think it's, would you say it's right in today's time, would you say it's just as safe trick-or-treating as it was when you was younger?
Yes, I do. Under the nowadays, a lot of parents actually go trick-or-treating with the kids. You know, the older the kids are, then, you know, it's okay for them to go trick-or-treating on their own. A lot of the parents actually go trick-or-treating with the kids to make it a whole lot safer. In my neighborhood, I don't necessarily see too many kids going out. They're 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, going out by themselves. They're usually with their parents. And not only that, but I live in a neighborhood, just coming from my perspective, I live in a neighborhood where, you know, all of the kids basically know each other. We all live within, a certain radius where all of the kids go to the same house every year. I see the same kids come to my house every year. My kids go to the same houses every year, and we stay within our little neighborhood. I think that's very safe. Is it like that for all neighborhoods and all kids? No. Bad things happen to good kids all the time on this holiday and on regular days, and, you know, it just depends on how safe, you know, your environment is and how involved the parents are with the children during this holiday.
Let me ask you this question. I'm just asking just a few questions.
Yeah, no problem. You keep asking. I like it.
Would you, if your kids was like, daddy, could you take us to the graveyard, right?
Mm-hmm.
We want to bake cookies for all the dead souls and leave it at their stones. Would you get involved?
I would tell them no. I would give a lot of reasons why. Number one, you don't know them. Why are you doing it? What does this mean? And then on top of that, I'm too lazy to take them out there. They would ask me, but I'm quite sure they would know I would say no. I don't even take my kids trick-or-treating. My wife does. I don't have that type of patience anymore. I'm with my kids on a daily basis. I don't have that type of patience to take my kids out and walk them around the block. I just can't do it. I haven't done it in years. Matter of fact, I think I've only done it once. Maybe, if that. I just don't have it in me to do it anymore. And even when I was young, I didn't even necessarily trick-or-treat that much. I mean, I had years when I did go trick-or-treating, but I was never a candy person. I was the type of kid, I never ate candy. I don't like candy. Even to this day, I don't like candy. You know what I'm saying? So I was never the candy type of kid. And sometimes when I did go out trick-or-treating, I only went because my friends, you know, went and they wanted to get the candy. But there was some Halloween that didn't go. I didn't go trick-or-treating because I necessarily didn't eat candy. So why am I going to go?
Well, let me ask, I got another question for you, right? This is my
You can keep
one.
Asking.
Yo, would you, say you was in church and Halloween fell on a Sunday, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're there with your family, you know, the word. And the pastor gets up and he has on a Michael Myers costume. And he begins to open the scriptures and begin to preach. Do you think would you be able to receive the word, or would the mask be in the way?
I think I would probably laugh at first. It would be real funny to me, but I think I would be able to overlook it. I really think, depending on who I'm sitting next to, too. I think that would be a lot.
What do you type of thoughts? Yeah. Would you think, like, yo, this dude, this pastor is bugging?
Yeah, I would think the pastor is being jokeful, but I'm quite sure pastors these days, they would actually tie it into a message. Whether it was a negative or whether it was a positive, they would tie it into the message in some kind of way. I don't think a pastor just on Halloween would just put on the Michael Myers costume and just start preaching willy-nilly without a purpose behind it.
Let me ask you this right here. If
mm-hmm.
what type of if you was to think of every holiday that
mm-hmm.
exists, in America that we celebrate. Mm-hmm. What holidays would you put away with, if any?
Put away with?
Yeah.
It's a lot of holidays. I don't even know half of them. I like Christmas. I like Easter. I don't necessarily need Halloween. The kids more so need Halloween. I don't need it, me personally. But I wouldn't take it away. You know, I think that's being me being selfish.
Let me ask you this. Why do you think kids need Halloween?
No, I don't think kids need any of the holidays. But it's just a day to get free candy and then another day to celebrate eating junk food. I mean, for kids, that's all they see it as. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I don't think it's necessarily, you know, a good thing or a bad thing.
10 years ago, me and you had this same conversation on this topic tonight about this.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked you some of the questions I asked you. Would they have been the same answers?
No, not at all.
Well, let me ask you. We're going to do something a little different tonight. Just while we're on here for a minute.
Okay.
I want you to actually be who you were. If you can possibly do that. I want to actually, when I'm talking to you and we're talking, I want you to be that person, that energetic, that extremist, if I can use that word,
okay,
that you were, so we can actually hear how it sounds or how it would sound. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. I'll entertain you for a little while.
Yeah, like from that person. So
okay,
if I'm on there and I'm like, yo, yeah, man, I love this Halloween. I love this Halloween, man. I can't wait to go out here and actually get involved in Halloween, what it represents. And after that, you know, go out, you know, get my little party on and actually go out here and, you know, do some things that that my flesh wants to do.
Well, and just to let you know, mostly every Halloween, I'm in church, bro. We have games. We do apple bobbing and playing all type. The only game I do remember is apple bobbing. But yeah, I was in church a lot of Halloweens. So that's what I'll be doing. I want to be pleasing my flesh during Halloween season, actually.
Why was y'all bobbing apples? Doesn't that represent something?
Bobbing apples? Nah, I don't know. I don't know what it represents. I thought it represents having fun. Bobbing for apples, seeing how many apples you can get without, you know, touching it with your hand.
Now, if I told you back then that all you going to church, and you was like, say you was going to church and y'all was bobbing apples, and I was like, well, in a way, you were still kind of celebrating Halloween in the form of it. What's your response would have been to that?
Yeah, we are celebrating Halloween, but we're just celebrating it in a positive way. We're taking something negative and turning it into a positive.
And you did that. Is it because you chose to do it in the church building that turned it into a positive?
I don't know. That's what my parents and my religion, that's what I believed at the time. I didn't necessarily question that per se. I was too young at the time.
So you have the Holy Ghost?
Depends on what age you're talking about. If you're talking about the time when I was bottled for apples, no, I was too young. I don't even think that I really realized what the Holy Ghost was until I, you know, became of age and I started to study and I started and I got saved, you know, myself instead of, you know, necessarily just going to church because I had to go.
Wow. If I was someone who was telling you that the way you serve God is wrong, and I feel as though that you're being, and I feel as though that you're being a hypocrite because
I'll argue you down, bro. Couldn't stop me, especially when I was 17, 18 years old, 19 years old. Nah. You couldn't see me. My head was literally in the Bible on a consistent basis.
And you would have started doing shaking and screaming or something?
Nah, I would have told you were absolutely wrong. I would have told you to prove it to me in the Word.
So if you would have been asked then how you know God is real, what would your response would have been?
Because I feel Him.
How do you know you feel Him?
Because when I read the Word, or when I speak in tongues, or when I dance, when I shout, when I listen to certain type of music, the effect that it has on me.
What does God feel like?
A warm, confident.
So God is warm?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How do you know that it's God?
Because I felt it.
But what did you feel? But how did you know it was God that you felt? Did He tell you that I'm God?
Yeah, you just know. It's not something that somebody or something has to tell you. You just know.
But what did you judge it by? Like, what did you go by to say, all right, that's God?
I didn't judge it by anything. That is God. Period. No question.
But how did you know it was God, though? Who told you it was God?
Because I know that I know that I know. If everybody has the same experience, and everybody's going off of the same experience, then
you
know.
And
if this person says, "Excuse me,"
when did you first know it was God? And how did you know it was Him if you never knew Him before? How did you know it was God?
I always knew God. When did I start to actually, you know, accept it for myself and start taking it serious in the sense of reading the Word and studying and having a spiritual gift.
Who introduced you to God? So you were introduced to God? You said you always knew God, but somebody introduced you to Him?
Yeah, I was basically born in the church, man. Church is my life.
So did you know church, or did you know God?
You can't, to me, you can't separate the two. I don't care
so
what anybody says.
You couldn't separate the two?
Nope.
So on
not,
Sunday
not
morning,
me,
what you
because,
experienced
because
in church, that was God to you.
Well, yeah, you have to understand, I was born, literally born. I mean, my day, probably that first Sunday, my mother got out of the hospital, you know what I'm saying? I was in church, man. I'm talking about a couple of days, weeks old, I was in church. So all I knew was God, man. All I knew was church. You know what I mean? So you ask somebody, how do they know it was God? How do I not know it's God? This is all I know.
So from that angle, thinking back then, it was no way that you could possibly think any way towards that God that you knew.
Of course not. Nah. That's God, period. There's no questions asked. There's no what ifs. I better not say no. There's no what ifs. I'm doubting, and if I'm doubting, that's not pleasing to God. And if I'm not pleasing to God, I'm sinning. And if I'm sinning, I'm liable to go to hell.
What would make a person that actually, you know, feels that way towards the God that he believes and he serves, to actually attempt to go outside of that? Especially when it's embedded in a person for so long, and they were born right into that, and that is who they are. That was who they had become. That's who they are.
Wow.
What gives the individual the heart to even want to go outside, especially if the God that person was serving was so good to him, and he was so happy, and the relationship was so great?
That person... whoever leaves God must be on crack cocaine. That's how I thought back then. There's no possible way that you can leave God. How could you leave the very thing or the very person that created you? There's no possible way. There's no possible way at all. Don't even question it. What's the purpose of you questioning anything? All you have to do is shut up and believe. And I shut up and I believed. I didn't have to question anything.
And that was good for that person. That was good, like, for a certain amount of time.
No, it was good my whole life. I mean, that's all I knew.
Well, let me ask you this. Is it things that you've seen in others throughout time in church that will actually one day make you begin to question certain things?
Nope, not at all. Nothing at all. You got to understand. If somebody, I've seen people, like I said, I've been in church my whole life. I've seen people do bad things. I've seen people do great things on both spectrums. Most of the time, I've seen people do average things. Bad things is not going to make me question my faith. Good things
what
is
will,
not going to make this. Huh?
What will?
Nothing. I told you, I don't question anything. God is my source. God is the reason why I'm here. Why question it?
Why would somebody question?
Because they're on crack cocaine. That's why. I've seen people come into the church. I mean, I know you've experienced this on Christmas Eve when church landed on the Saturday. Christmas Eve landed on the Saturday or Sunday. You had to go to church prior to, or New Year's Eve. You had to go to church. It was always that crackhead or that drunk that came to the church every year, and they came up and they testified for 38 minutes straight. You know what I'm saying? Yo, listen, man. Those are the people that stray away and start to question stuff, and that's why they are in the situation that they're in.
Do you think you would have been effective who you were at 19?
What do you mean, do I think I would have been effective?
Being effective in the kingdom of God. If you would have been 19 then, do you think right now you would have been effective in the kingdom of God?
Man, you gotta understand something, bro. Every friend, every boy of mine, every girl I was dating. Listen, man, I had a girlfriend. I'm not even now. Now this is a true story. I had a girlfriend who was a Hindu Indian. I'm not talking about a fake one. I'm talking about a real Hindu Indian with the dot on her head. It was my girlfriend. We was going together for years. I made her come to church. I made her start to, you know, believe in Jesus. Come on, man.
How about today? Does she still believe in Jesus?
I don't know. I haven't talked to her in years.
So that's deep. So let me ask you this question. Hold up. We got a caller in.
Okay.
Hello, caller.
What's up, man? Y'all tripping tonight, man.
What's going on, man?
Y'all always up to something, man. Watch you guys, man.
Y'all
gonna pull something off sooner or later.
Yeah, he's coming at me from from how
I see.
Yeah, growing up how I used to be. You know, so
yeah, man.
Tonight,
you know what I'm saying? What happened, man? You know, over here on the East Coast, man.
Yeah, we're out of power.
You know what I'm saying? So the show been down for a minute, so tonight, you know, it's Halloween, so I just came up with a topic, you know, should Christians celebrate Halloween?
Spooky stuff.
Say that again?
Yeah.
I said, with some spooky stuff, huh?
Yeah, uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? Just finding, you know, because really, when you hear Halloween, that's the type of stuff that you think about. You know, ghosty, spooky, you know, the whole thing like that. And, you know, even in certain people, even in different homes, even when it has nothing to do with Halloween, people have superstitions that have probably been passed down to them, too, by, you know, your family members, like different things. You know what I mean? Some people won't walk up under a ladder. You know what I mean? Some people won't, you know, go around a pole. I mean, there's so many different things that people, you know, actually look at or have a fear about or a superstition about. You know what I mean?
Can I ask you a question? Oh, Jay, I've asked you a question just concerning that. I don't want to forget. You just talked about how people are scared to, you know, go on the ladders and break glass, you know, when mirrors are like 7 years, that 7 year ballot. Do you believe in that stuff?
In my superstitions?
Yes.
You asking me? Yo, at one time I used to be.
No, I'm talking about now.
No, I'm not superstitious.
Why not?
You said why not?
Yes.
You know why? Because I just chose not to.
Hey, ain't it a scripture to say when I was a child, I thought as a child?
Yeah, I chose not to. Because you know what? See, me, I'm the type of person, my mind is so vivid. It's so vivid. And for me to actually look at so much stuff like that, if I was to do it, it would almost be like I would torture myself constantly.
What is the definition of superstitious to you? I'm not talking
you
about the general sense, but what's superstitious to you, like the concept of it?
Put it this way.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's superstition, somebody can look at.
I'm talking about you.
I'm going to tell you to me. Because I already know where you're going with this question. Because I was already about to ask.
I already know where you're going with it. I answered every question you gave me.
Yeah, but I already know where you're going with this question.
I even took it back to where I was a hardcore Christian.
Put it this way. To me, superstition is something that would actually contradict what we look at as normal.
Well, what do you mean by that?
Or natural.
Explain that a little bit.
Put it this way. It's almost, most superstitions are something that would be like an omen or looked at as something witchcraft. Like, just like a superstition if you're going under the ladder.
Mm-hmm.
If you go under the ladder, you feel as though something's going to happen to you. Or if a black cat run across your leg or run in front of you, that's told you that now bad luck is going to come.
So do you think that's true? Do you think if a black cat runs across you, do you think it would be true?
No, I don't believe in that.
And you said you don't believe in that because you chose not to believe in that because it's not necessarily something you accept to be realistic.
No, I don't believe in it.
It's because you accepted realistic.
Not only that. That's not the only reason why.
Okay.
I don't step on that. Even in the Word of God, it talks about superstition. And that's not something we're supposed to.
So can you tell me what the Word of God says about?
Yeah, I'm about to find that for you right now. If you give me a minute,
okay.
Sir.
Because you know a lot of things that people who hold to a belief, a lot of their traditions and the things that they believe in are basically superstition.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just under religious terms, so they wouldn't look at it as being a superstition.
Well, you know what you could ask the minister is, what if it was in the Bible that said, if a black cat cross your path, it is bad luck. Would he believe it then?
Of course he would, because it's in the Bible. You have to believe what's in the Bible.
Okay, yeah.
That's
Matu. You know I will believe. Hold up.
Yeah. You know it's hard to draw that line when it comes to certain type of beliefs, because the same measure of scrutiny you actually have to waste someone else's belief or superstition. You have to put the same thing on yours.
Right.
You have to measure your same.
Wow, it's crazy, though. Superstitions also, too, like, you can come up or start a whole new thing off of a superstition.
Of course.
That's why I be trying to tell y'all, man, whenever you're dealing with any type of concept, meaning it can't be readily sensed, if you study if it's a concept, it comes out of the mind of a man. If it comes out of the mind of a man, there's a history to it. If there's a history to it, you can study it. And when you go back, some of this stuff, not making light of anybody's ability to create anything, but when you go back and study it, not only do it put it in context, but when you begin to study the culture and the time frame in which it came up and other things that were happening in those communities, some of it is funny. I mean, you would literally laugh at some of the stuff they came up with. You said, man, these jokers, I know they were smoking weed when they came up with this.
It's true, but it's hard. It's very, very difficult when these type of rituals and these type of beliefs are attached to religion. It's very, very hard to see it as laughable or as a joke or this can't be serious, because we can't look at something we deem as something so spiritual and so true to be untrue and false, and like this can't be true. Like, we can't see it like that. I mean, because for instance, I was talking to somebody. They were Christian, but they didn't necessarily, they weren't fluent in the Bible. So I told them that I actually know of this religion, and actually this man got highly of. You know, he was walking, whatever, and these kids were making fun of him because he was bald. You know, this man prayed to his God, and then this God sent these 15 bears to maul these children. And that person was like, "Oh man, that's crazy! What kind of religion is this?" I was like, "Your religion?" He was like, "No, it wasn't. This ain't my religion." I said, "Yeah, it is your religion." He said, "No, there's no way." I said, "Yes, it was. It was a prophet. His, I believe his name
was Elijah. Elijah."
And he said, "Nah, you're gonna have to show me that." So when I showed it to him, he couldn't believe that his religion actually taught that.
You know what else, man? Just like us three here talking on the phone. When you study history, and you try to put those societies in context, you gotta remember, man, them cats was just like us, man, just in a different time. I mean, we want to make them something other than just like us.
Yeah,
they're just like us on the phone tripping. What makes y'all think they wasn't just like us? Get together, talk, shooting the breeze and stuff like that, coming up with stuff. For some reason, we think they were something different from us.
Yeah, because we look at them as being closer to God. And if you're closer to God, that means
you're on something else. Yeah, you're on another level.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the further we look back in time, the further we look at those people closer to God.
Nah, that's a good
point.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Because we look so back far, And really, according to time, they were closer to God.
Well, actually, they wasn't, but.
I mean, no, far as actually hearing about a God, or even thinking or having a thought of a God, and they had that thought way before we ever could have in the future.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, of course, because they actually lived before we did. So of course,
we look at it's almost like we pay more respect or homage in a way to that because of that.
But you know what?
Yeah, you're right.
Let me ask y'all a question. I was talking to a group today, and, you know, they came out, oh, no, man, too. You going crazy, man. Them guys was inspired by the Creator. I said, okay, I ain't got no problem with that. I said, do anybody know when the Creator started talking? I said, because the men that you said was inspired, I mean, it was me and him before them. So I said, did the Creator just start talking to them, or was he talking before them? You know, they didn't want to, I mean, they was actually stuck right there to think that there may have been some other men and women who was inspired by the same Creator. They would not acknowledge that.
See, they can't acknowledge that. And the reason why a lot of people can't acknowledge that is because their limitation of knowledge doesn't exceed that, so they can't necessarily tie two and two together. But you have some smarter Christians who are now called apologists that can, because they are more versed biblically, they can tie the two together and make sense out of it. Certain Christians can't do that because their limitations on the knowledge of the Bible limits them from doing that. You know, so. You know, it's very easy. Like I said,
well, you know what they would say with something like that too. With that scripture, it's a scripture in John 21:25, and it says, "And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, everyone, I suppose, that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written."
Ooh, that sounds deep, don't it?
What I'm saying though, that's hearing that would make someone be like, well, listen,
right.
You know, God is so mass and God is so great that, listen, this world is so small that it couldn't contain to all the things that he's done.
Right.
How about
there
are other things on other planets or other worlds that we haven't even came in contact with that could exist,
A couple of things, you're pushing at the most Christians because, like I said, most Christians, they're limited within the knowledge of what they have. First of all, if you believe the Bible to be the inspired word of God, and if you believe in its literal sense, then you would have to believe in creationalism, which is the Bible says that this world is only 6 to 10,000 years old. This earth is 6 to 10,000 years old. And if you accept the Bible to be true, then you would have to accept that part of the Bible to be true as well.
Right.
But, like I said, smarter Christians, they don't necessarily coincide with that type of, because they say it's impossible. That's totally impossible for that to happen. So what they do is they actually merge science and they merge their religion to make it make more sense. And to make it appeal to the masses, opposed to just appealing to the more fundamental people who just believe.
Would you say the smart? So, in your opinion, the smarter Christians are right?
No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying that either one is right or wrong. No, I'm not saying. Just one more thing. Just to put it this way, it's easier to pick on Christians who aren't as smart.
Right.
Put it that way.
Right. Okay. If you notice that, like the, so to speak, the enlightenment of the Christian, you know, and the movement of the Christian faith and a lot of religions, who sets the tone for revelation, new truths, and things of that nature is those philosophers who also may be scientists, because what they do, that's the closest thing we got to nature, science, the study of nature, is to look for things in nature that they could use to help give definition to the supernatural. And so when you hear them merge those two together, well, we say, oh, man, that's deep, you see? And so if you notice, just study the Christian faith, those who come up with the new truths and things of that nature, it is those who mesh that belief and faith system with science. And then everybody else just take it. Ooh, that's deep.
Well, let me ask both of y'all this question. Do you believe the different things that man has found and is currently discovering, do you think those things are giving a more edge to the non-existence of God than to the confirmation that there is one?
Well, it actually comes to the whole topic of the God of the gaps, basically. And what that is at a time, God was the answer to everything we didn't understand. The more we start to understand, well, put it this way, the things that we didn't know, God actually filled in, like, God filled in those gaps. So basically, they was like, well, we don't know necessarily why it storms and thunders and lightning. So they say, hey, God did it, because we didn't necessarily know the answer. But now we know the answer, we can't just say God did it, because we now know the answer. So God doesn't necessarily have to be in that equation. So now the gap is getting smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. You know what I'm saying? There are certain answers that we don't necessarily, that science doesn't necessarily know. So then a believer says, okay, well, since science doesn't know it, God fits right there. God
yeah.
must have done it. And as time progresses, we're going to find the answers to that too. And then what happens is God actually gets pushed out of that. And then it progresses and progresses and progresses and progresses. You know what I'm saying? And I'm talking to the mass of Christianity. You know, like I said, I'm not talking about the fundamental Christians, you know, who still believe that, you know, God is still in the lightning, you know, because we have the science to back up those type of knowledge now, you know, that type of education. You can learn that. So.
Right.
That
yeah, sense. I think to add something to that and answer your question, most of them, those who have given God a definition that is personified, meaning they've made him to be, they've given him definition and character like a human so that they can relate to him better. As things progress, the definition of God like that, right, do you push the limit on that? And so those who define him like that, of course, they scream bloody murder. But like Africans, in ancient African culture, when they couldn't figure something out, they created mythos, and all that meant was just, hey, you know, we can't figure this out right now. We can't say yeah or nay. We don't throw it in the trash, but we don't take it as a reality either. It's called mythos, and they just continue to live until they, you know, either can answer it or add more mythos to it, or somebody else answered it. So that's why for ancient Africans, it's easier to hear all men's, you see what I'm saying, definition. Not that they're gonna agree with it. It's okay. So I think when you define God in those broader terms like that, looking at all of the creation, it's harder for that concept of God to be washed away, because it's in everything. It's only that narrow definition that once something is revealed, then everybody's like, hey, wait a minute, I'll give you one. They say God is jealous, right? Now, what would the creator of the universe be doing with a weak emotion?
Yeah, so true.
Think about that. The creator of the universe has a weak emotion called jealousy.
And just to
but you know what? Let me ask you this, Motu. Like, when it comes to jealousy, is there different forms of it?
Well, I'll tell you
like
what,
that word, like how far can we trace that word jealousy back?
Right. And then so what we do, So what I would ask you, I will flip the question back to you. Well, since you say your God has a jealousy, give me his form of jealousy. And watch you define it as the jealousy that you have. He don't want you serving no other God. What do you do? Start crying?
No, he actually gets mad and starts to kill. He starts to make massive genocides.
Storms and bumblebees and stuff like that?
No, he literally kills people. But see, this is my thing. My thing is, I don't care how scientific, you know, the science world becomes, or how religious the religious world becomes. The science can never prove that God does not exist, and the religion can never prove that God does exist.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So basically, you know, it just depends on. It stems back down to the personal belief, your culture, where you're from, how you were raised, and if you yourself accept it to be true, and if you do accept that.
Yeah, I just wanted to add something, brother, because that's what you're saying, man, is the core. And that's why in the African culture, you know what they call it? They just say ma'at, meaning balance. In other words, so that was the cultural norm. Because that's key what you said. Science can never prove he don't exist, and religion can really never prove he do exist. So where's the medium?
Let me ask you this question. Do you think, since you said balance, do you think it's really needed, it's needed to be that way? Like, do you believe it's good that way?
Well, that, I mean, me personally.
That it can't be proven or unproven?
I think that for some people, yeah, it does create balance, because a lot of people, whether it's a true or false notion, religion sometimes keeps people from pulling triggers and killing people.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's correct.
So, yes, of course it's good.
That's correct.
You know, to some people, but other people don't necessarily need that. And just because I don't need that, it's not your permission or not, you know, your will to force it on me.
Right. That's the key. It's different when, like I said, if God told you to get $20, but then you come call me, say, hey, Matt, too, God told me to tell you to give me $20. Well, now we got to talk about that.
I have one better for you. You have two opposing sides fighting against each other. One, and both of you believe in the same God. And both of you pray. For instance, the Civil War, the North and the South, both of them were Christian, Christian believing sides, and they both prayed. Who won?
Right.
So, are you saying because the North prayed harder, they won, or the South prayed less and they lost, or the South didn't have enough faith, and the North did have enough? I mean, you can't necessarily say. You have two boxes who believe in God. Both of them believe in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They both fight. One of them lose, one of them win. Do you say, one of them say, oh, their faith wasn't strong enough?
I'm going to give you one I heard today.
I don't really think it has anything to do with that, because then you got to ask the question, all right, why were they fighting, right? And if the God that they both serve, right, or they both believe in, did he tell them to fight? Did he initiate the war and send them on a war? Or did they create the war on themselves? And then once they got in the midst of it, now let's pray, because now I'm feeling the effects of this war.
See, now you're trying to be too smart, man. You're trying to be too smart. See, that's the thinking. Now you thinking. You see? Now you want to think.
Well, this is my thing. You're talking about the Civil War, North and South. The South wanted to keep slavery because it made sense to them. The North wanted to abolish slavery because that made sense to them. The Bible actually condones both, depending on how you're reading.
I hear what you're, I hear exactly what you're saying, but in the time and when it happened, what I'm saying is, if they prayed, were they both saying that, all right, God sent me on this war?
Yes.
And they're saying the same God sent them on this war?
Yes.
Well, somebody could be lying.
Well, who's the person that win? So
how
do you determine who the lie is?
Yeah, exactly. And then both of them could be telling
really
the truth.
You really can't determine who the liar is.
Well,
like right now, you're just mentioning that. Like that's a thought you just came up. Like you just came up with that. You gave that. You know what I mean? We're thinking on it. But just because you said that, that may have not been the case at all.
But what you know, the side that win, of course you know what they're going to say. Hey, see, our God provided.
That was on our side.
And then the one
that
lose going to say, well, it was God's will,
like,
for us to lose.
The side that wins, the side that wins the war in man's war, even in the Bible, is not always the ones who were godly.
Yeah, it was. It was
godly. No, hold up. It was people who they lost wars. People
yeah, but
in the
I'm
Bible,
saying,
like the children of Israel in the Bible didn't win every war.
And do you know why? Do you know why? It was because a prophet said, well, hey, exactly. Exactly. So they always had a reason.
Right.
They always had a reason why they gave a reason why they lost. And then they gave a reason why they won.
In the Bible, is listen, when you're obeying God and you're following him and being obedient to his word, it gives you, that's what gives you victory.
I have to say something about that. Then, also in the Bible, it also teaches the more and more you put, and the more you dedicate yourself to God, and even when you do lose, you're supposed to lose because that's actually showing you that God can actually do it. Or there's always an explanation.
Right.
Yeah,
always an explanation.
There come with the Bible says that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord.
Exactly. So then that totally ignores
the Lord fights your battles. You know
well,
what I mean?
Then that totally ignores the premise that you just gave earlier about why they win or why they lose. Because they were disobedient. No, they're not
just
disobedient.
Because
they trusted in
the war. Just because it was actually fighting in the war. You gave the thing about the Civil War. I'm saying it could have not been the will that they fought. Anyway, period. It could have been. Just because they actually fought doesn't mean, just because they both was praying, that they both was praying and being heard by God.
Yeah, well, then you can't necessarily say that. Just as much as you can say
But the same way, what I'm saying, the same way that you just came up and you're saying that they both was praying to God. And who's to say who God's side was on? Was he on the Yankee side because they defeated, you know, because they won? Like, no one can determine that. No one can, I don't even think, no one can answer that question. That's a question unanswered.
No.
Hey, well, here's the third question. Who was on the slave side, what they was fighting over? Who was they
got? But not only that, but they actually can answer the questions, because the people who are actually fighting the war, if you do your history and do some research on the people, they actually say the ones, the North that won, they say, yes, we prayed and God answered our prayers. And look at it now. And then the South basically says, well, you know what? Because we lost, look at the world now. If we would have won, it would have been a better world.
Put it this way.
Well, I mean,
somebody always going to have something to say.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, that's my point.
Yeah, that's the way it's like. Somebody's always going to have something to say.
Until
it's actually proven, to something is proven without a shout of any doubt, like where there's no disputation, like you can dispute it, you know? And like you talk about all the time, man, the evidence.
Yeah.
if it's actually proving whatever
yeah,
it is.
But those type of situations you can't necessarily prove because both sides can prove can prove, you know, their
especially
side.
If it's psychological, right. I mean you because it can't be measured.
And like it comes back to being personal because if I got into a fight and I was getting jumped by some dudes and I prayed like, Lord help me in this situation and I'm fighting and I come out of that situation okay. In my mind, that creates me to even believe even more because when I prayed, I got out the situation. Regardless whether God heard me or not, or I was just that good and much of a fighter and I got out the situation, in my mind, I give the credit to what I depended on or what I hoped in.
Right.
And you said the key thing, in your mind.
And that's why
and that's
you cannot argue with a man's belief.
You can't speak for nobody else but in
that's
your own mind.
Point.
Just like what you're thinking right now or what Brother Muttu is speaking about and we're talking, you're speaking from your mind.
Yeah,
you're
that's why you
from
don't
what
argue
your
with a man.
You can't speak from nothing else.
Exactly. And just like you said, that's why you can't argue someone's belief. And that's why it's not your right to stomp your belief on me and say I'm wrong. If I don't believe like you do,
well,
and I'm
actually,
going to this.
Well, here's the thing about that, bro. Actually, he can because he have the will to do that. He can say that. He can say if you don't believe you're wrong, but that don't mean you're wrong.
You
can
don't
say
mean
anything.
You can choose to say just like
he
people
can say
do a lot of things.
Right.
That don't
he
mean
can say
right.
you're going to hell. That don't mean
yeah,
you're
right.
going to no hell.
Nah.
But he can say it.
Me, I don't put nobody in. I don't put nobody in
but
hell.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you're saying, but. And just like this, Aaron, like me, if I'm witnessing or if I'm talking about God to an individual, I'm not the type of person that be like, I got my Bible and I'm like, see, this is what God says to you. The way you're living your life, you're gonna burn in hell, flames and fire. I don't talk like that. My conversation, I talk to a person the regular way I would talk to anybody. You know what I'm saying? And I would let certain individuals know we could talk about anything. We could talk about sports. We could talk about life. We could talk about relationships.
Like I said, it's a very false representation of what you believe when you talk like that because that's not what you believe. And whether or not you're actually saying whether or not you're actually saying that this person is or you're going to hell.
You're looking at it like this. My witness doesn't – I don't have to do it the way that someone else – does it. I don't have to scream around here, going around here with a collar around my neck and screaming, oh, Jesus, Jesus. I don't have to do it that way. I can be a smart fisherman. I can use wisdom the way I do. I don't have to do it the way everyone else does it. It ain't no scripture that says you have to do it like that. So it doesn't make me less represent what I do. I stand for Christ. I stand for the Lord. You know what I mean? I look at myself as an ambassador for Christ.
And if you stand for the Lord, I'm not saying that you're going around saying people are going to hell.
You're saying
but
that
you believe
I am
that
totally
if they don't necessarily accept what you deem to be true from the Bible, they are. Whether you want to necessarily verbally say it or not.
This is what you look at. This is what you'll do. I'm going to tell you what. This is what you're very good at. You're very good at pointing out the negativity of the scriptures and the stuff about going to hell or you judging this person. But you don't really point out the stuff like a person changing, getting off of drugs, changing their life. No, you really don't.
Yeah,
no, you really don't talk about that stuff. You don't really talk about the good outweighing the bad.
I do. Yes,
not really.
I do. And
you normally point out things that if a person is representing Christ and they're representing the love of Christ and I'm going to witness, the main thing you get to that your religion is going to condemn them in the end because it's going to send them to hell if they don't follow what you're saying. Like, that's the main thing that you will harp on about it. But you don't really talk about the eternal life, the salvation. You really don't talk about that part of it. You talk about the negative part of it that you look at as bad. And to you, that outweighs the great parts of eternal life with Christ. You know, him being our Redeemer.
To answer back what you said, when we are having discussions and we're having conversations, I am going to point out the negative certain negative things to actually to pick out my point. But
well, no, we
not
understand
only
that.
That
what
wait,
I'm
wait,
saying.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. But not only that, but you have to also understand this, that the good stuff only comes when you follow it. I can see if your belief actually says, hey, the good stuff will come to you even if you don't accept it. But you're saying that my good stuff only will come to you if you actually follow what I'm telling you.
So, Brother Matsu, let me ask you this.
What kind of sense does that make?
Let me ask you this question, Brother Matsu. Listen, do you believe that, and I'm just asking you personally right now, mm-hmm. do you believe that if man does anything in this world, regardless of how bad it may be, regardless of how wicked it may be, regardless of how whatever, what we think of the worst things that you could think that can happen in this earth realm that a person can do, mm-hmm. do you feel as though that regardless of what it is, that individual, if they don't, you know, rectify the situation or make the situation right, or try to, or have a heart to, do you think that individual deserves the greatest consequences for it?
Well, I believe that there should be consequences for, and I think that's even in natural law sometimes, that there's always cause and effect, that there are consequences to all actions. So I don't know if I answered your question, but now, if you want me to define what I think the consequences should be for action, that's different. But I
Take it to that level.
Okay. Give me an example of something wicked.
Okay.
Killing and raping small children.
Yeah.
That is how we deem something really, really bad in this world.
Okay. Yes, I think if, in fact, a person, has done that, and they said that they have done it, in my opinion, that person should be killed.
Now, just to shed light on the situation without being cut off, I would like to say this. That's not even the worst thing that someone can do under the eyesight of Christianity. You know what the worst thing someone can do under the eyesight of Christianity is not believing. That's the worst thing somebody can do. Now, I think that's totally unfair. That's not like killing small children.
Right.
You're saying because I don't believe, I get the worst possible punishment in the whole entire, not even in this world, and even in the world.
In the next world to come, man, you're in trouble.
But,
yeah.
but
that's the problem.
You're talking about, all right, it's not the worst thing that you can do from the man, but coming from God, the person who actually created the very air that you breathe, and to not to believe in him and respect him for who he is, and to completely deny him, you know what I'm saying? I believe.
No, see, but that's the thing about it.
You're saying that.
No, listen.
I mean, not necessarily. God is nothing. Like that.
Listen,
nothing. Like that's a small thing.
Yeah, it is compared to what you're comparing it to. But
that's your opinion. That's your
opinion. But listen. Check this out.
I'm saying that's your opinion.
Let's say I was actually born in China, and I don't believe what you believe, and I didn't grow up believing the way you believe.
Right.
You're saying that God is going to punish me because I wasn't born in America, and I wasn't born in a Christian family and went to a Christian church.
God is bigger than America, man.
But just listen to what I'm saying to you.
God is bigger than America. I don't look at God as like
You're not paying attention to what I'm saying. Just listen to what I'm saying. I'm just using America as an example.
I believe that God gives man an opportunity, regardless of how it happens or how he chooses to do it, to actually get a concept of who he is
and you have to believe that, Jay. You have to believe that. I'm telling you, in the real world, there are some people that would just not accept that because they weren't born the way you were and the way you are and the way you believe. And they died at the age of 13.
This world's been around for a long time, man. Many people believe in God, man, or have believed in God. Once.
Yeah, but not
many
your
people.
God.
No, God, listen. God, man, just like Brother Nico said, whether you call him my God, I believe in God Almighty.
I'm talking about Jesus
God
Christ created this
world. If you
don't
believe, if you don't
believe
in the God
Jesus
that created this
world,
the creator of the world, man.
I'm talking about Jesus Christ.
It's the God that I believe in.
Well, yeah,
that's
I can
the
see
Father.
What was happening a little bit, what I can hear is, yeah, minister, now don't run from your definition of God. Answer the question based off your definition. It's like
no,
you're trying to make him universal and not run back a little bit.
I believe that Christ is the Son of God.
Okay.
Which was sent down here to die for my sins.
Okay.
I believe in Christ. I believe in God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I believe in that. But I believe the same God that gave his only begotten Son, I believe he is the creator of all.
Okay.
And that is the God that I believe in. So however you want to look at it, however you want to say it, that's the God
but
that
I'm
believe
just going
in.
Up for
I
what
do not
you said.
Stand down
and I'm going
off
of what Christianity's. And I'm going off of what I said. I'm going off of what you said, what you literally told me, and then I'm going off of what Christianity says as a whole. If you do not accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and acknowledge that he died and rose again from the dead, and he is the Son
of the
living God.
That's what the Word says. If you don't even acknowledge that Christ has this as the Son of God, let's not even say
with
God if you don't even acknowledge the Son of God.
Exactly.
That's
all I'm saying.
Christ.
So if a Chinese
never got exposed to that and acknowledging Jesus Christ as the Son of God, then according to your belief, that person going to hell.
Yes, according to the belief.
Yeah.
According to the Word. That's according to the Word. God, he could do whatever he chooses to do. I don't know. According to the Word, that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life.
And you have a responsibility at any chance that you're given or you know, according to that same belief to tell them about.
And I always share Jesus.
Yeah.
I'm not ashamed of Christ, man.
Yeah.
And I share him, but I share him not only just by me actually pulling out a scripture.
Right.
And actually quoting 1,000 scriptures.
Right. But the way
you
live your life.
Through my life.
Yeah.
Through who I am.
And see, that's why I don't have a problem with that, you see what I'm saying, with nobody's belief, because here's what the other person has a right to do. Okay, man, I appreciate that. I'll holler at you.
Yes, and you know what? It's not like I'm going to chase them down,
right,
put chains on them, and put them up on a tree and start whipping them until they accept them.
Right.
I'm not that person. My thing is like this. I look at my life as I plant seeds, or I might water some seeds that have been planted by others. I believe that God gives the increase on it. God is the one who actually does the drawing. I'm just an instrument to plant a seed. If it's just one word, if it's just, a little conversation, a hello, or just someone actually looking at my life, how I move, or you know what I'm saying, how
mm-hmm.
I treat my family, you know what I mean, how I treat my wife, how I, you know, interact with people, how I'm on the phone right now with Brother Matu and Brother Aaron. In the midst, regardless, and I know I come on the line every day, and I know that when we talk that there are disagreements that we have, that different points of views that we have, but I still don't let that stop me from like, okay, he don't believe what I believe. Brother Aaron, he talks and he says this, so I won't have no communication with them. I won't talk with them because I'm above them. Because it's quite, no, I'm like, listen, man, my thing is like this. I'm going to represent Christ to the fullest. But at the end of the day, I'm a man, you a man, and he a man. You know what I'm saying? So I believe that the greatest thing that I can do on this phone line is be who I am, who God created me to be, represent who I represent. And however it falls or whatever grows from it is going to grow.
Right.
I don't have no gun that nobody had. You know what I'm
saying?
That's how I roll.
And And me personally, you know, I view myself as a Christian. I always will view myself as a Christian. I think the difference is now, like I said, like I always say, I can separate the fact from the fiction, and I actually use it in a very, very positive light where I help and I try to establish, you know, building up people in a very, very positive way. And because I grew up as a Christian, that is the avenue that I will continue to use without condemning people, without even preaching condemnation, without saying that God, because you don't believe my way or you don't believe according to the Bible, you know, you will be condemned. That's where I think I differ from a lot of Christians. I would never do that. The only thing that I can do is teach and preach love. That's it. And I will continue to do that.
Yeah. You know, and plus, you know something, Brother Matu, you know what's so deep about it, man, on some real. Like, you do what you do, right? You got, you know, your consciousness of what you do. You deal, with the African.
And Africanism.
Yeah. And you you deal with that. You deal with the socialists, and you know, and you helping that country one day will be great, and it will, you know, get victory over a lot of the things that has been coming up against it, and you know, different things throughout time, throughout years and years of time. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And you fighting, you know, you're very compassionate in your heart towards that. So you give your time, your life towards that cause.
Yes.
I respect the fact that even in that you still would choose to call in on Dirty Church Radio and talk to brothers who you know what they represent and what they about, and still be able to call and talk with us. And it don't have to get to a point where I'm disrespecting you, you disrespecting me, when there are certain ones that are in the same faith and believe the same things that have conversation and start disrespecting each other.
Right.
And you know what I'm saying? And
right.
Doing all types of stuff. And we having different disagreements and points of views, but we can still respect each other enough to still be able to talk and be able to still listen and hear what the other individual has to say. And to me, that says a lot.
Yeah. One of the things, and I think one of the things is because whenever you look at men's religions and things of that nature, particularly, and that's with any man's religion or group's religion, when you look at them from a historical perspective, you'll see a lot of the times they was using that religion like to maintain a certain code of ethics within their society or expand, you know, on some good things within the culture, or expand, you know, themselves around the world. So I always keep religion and things of that nature in that context, that I believe that before we get to the supernatural things, I think if our beliefs and faith could help us on this plane, then I think, you know, that's where I would start. So even after we get done talking about our faith and stuff like that, I'm still going to bring the conversation back. So what are we going to do about mass incarceration of black men? So what are we going to do about abortion? So what are we going to do about not having no black banks? I'm going to bring the conversation back there.
Yeah, no, I feel you. And I believe that is so too. Even with being spiritual and everything, I believe there are many issues that we need to deal with right here within the earth realm. Like you just said, I believe a lot of issues that we need to confront and deal with while we're still breathing.
And certain things I think you can't subcontract out to God. Just handle your business. I told you.
Yeah, I believe some things he wants us to deal with. Yeah, I believe that. And I believe a lot of times when we fail certain things, we fall back on it.
Right.
And expect God to do
right.
it.
Right.
He intended for us to do it
Bingo.
Ourselves.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I believe that too. And then when we don't accomplish it, we use that for an excuse.
Excuse, right.
Well, it must
right.
have not been the will of God that
right.
we do it. So,
and so
you know,
we
yeah.
still in the we still at the bottom of the ladder while
yeah.
everybody else moving on.
Yeah. So yeah, I believe that. And I believe even conversations like this on this line challenges each one of us, and it starts making us actually start thinking different thoughts, because you got to understand this. There are thoughts that you would have never thought of or took notice that you thought of until you came on Dirty Church Radio,
right.
and it's certain things we wouldn't have thought of until you called in.
Right.
So we all, like, have, we all set a chain reaction of different things by just our very presence connecting. You know what I mean? When Brother Aaron, when the advocate, when he says something, once he says it, now he has altered something in everyone that's listening, that now their mind is going to think something that wasn't thought of until he said what he said. Well, he says what he said.
And I'm going to go back to the point I made earlier. And I think we do ourselves a disservice if we can't see ourselves, us three talking, just like three of the guys in the Bible in the New Testament or something, and those philosophers and sitting around and those who say they were inspired by God. We do ourselves a disservice if we can't see ourselves just like them.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I feel you on. I tell my brothers and them all the time when I be talking to them. I be like, man, yo, every day I'm living a different parable that wasn't written back in the day then. Like, it's a parable or a situation like right now. I'm writing a story. Whether it's being written down on paper and I'm taking note of it, every conversation that I have with someone is something that is a story or situation just like every story that took place in the Bible that you can read of. Or any other book that you want to say, not even just the Bible, or any other book of
right.
history. Because whether you believe it, whether we're living it right now, one day this is nothing, it's not going to be nothing but history.
Right.
It's like we've been on this show right now, Dirty Church Radio, since October 3rd. Right? With almost over 4,000 people actually tuning in, listening to us. All of those shows that took place is already history.
Right.
You know what I mean? The beginning of this show is already history. History happens quick. It happens real fast, man. Everything becomes the past as soon as it's said.
And I'm going to tell you something, man, just from talking with, when, if you really look at, if you psychoanalyze blacks and if you could get them down and pin them down to give them a psychoanalysis, we really have not thought highly of ourselves, man. We, everything that's of value, everything that's divine, it's always something that we've got to get from somebody else, and that divinity can't come out of us.
Yeah, like,
and
we got to get it out of
get
the
a
white
lot out
light
of people right there. Yeah.
Yeah, I got you.
Mm-hmm. I think in a lot of ways, religion heavily cripples people, and because it actually takes away a lot of times the things that we should learn, the things that we should do on our own. It kind of gives us that extra leg to basically say, well, you know, well, we don't have to do it because God's going to take care of it.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have to fix this because God's going to take care of this. You know, and I think a lot of times it starts with us, and you know, for people that do accept God and believe God to be true and divine, you know, I really don't think that God is going to help until we help ourselves.
That's, you know, that's deep, man. The other day I was sitting here in the crib thinking, I was wondering, you know how we got the Bibles, thousands of Bibles right now. You could read Bible, Torahs, Quran, whatever, you could just read. I was wondering, like, way back in the day, I know they had scrolls and stuff, Bible, but if they would have had the Bible the way we have it written out to read today, like back then, what would it be like right now?
Well, yeah, I think you have to put it, let me give you another perspective. Like in ancient African cultures, well, they have what they're called the medjuneter. And if you couldn't tell them, in other words, let's say you went back in time with the Holy Bible, right? And they had the medjuneter. Well, you couldn't tell them that their medjuneter wasn't the Word of God. That was the Word of God for them. That's what that means. The words of the gods. So, from that perspective, Minister, they gonna tell you, man, you crazy, man. What is that book you got, man? That's a witchcraft, man. Get on out of here. No, they wouldn't have said that, but you know what I'm saying. They would.
I got you.
You understand
so
what I mean?
The metanet means the book of the gods, plural.
Yeah, words of the gods.
All right. Now, how many gods do they have? Like in the imagination, like how many gods is there?
Not only did they have gods, they also had goddesses. What they did, man, was to give definition to what they couldn't give definition to. They created god and goddesses to explain it. So now all they were trying to explain is the unexplainable. So it wasn't like on Monday they'll go make a statue and slob and meditate in front of this statue on Mondays and this, that. None of that. When you look in the African cultures, you can't look at the concept of God like you're saying now, like Jesus Christ. That's not how they used it.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, the god of water, Shu, the god of wind, Shu-Nef. What they do was they would make a drawing of it and then say, look at the wind. They would look at the wind and how it interacted with everything, and then they say, oh, these are the attributes of wind. So they say the god of the wind. Not that they, you see what I'm saying? Now, they didn't take and put that on a pedestal. That was just their way of describing wind and its attributes, the god of the sun. The attributes.
Now, what is the biggest god? Like, what is the highest level of god in the Medjunetsu?
How could I put it? The Ma'at would have to be the center of it. In other words, there is no part of the creation, there's no part of creation that is over anything. There's nothing over anything. There's nothing higher than anything. Everything is cyclical and everything interrelates to everything else. So there is no part of creation that they put over another part.
All right. Well, you weren't on the show when this guy came on there called Nico, was you?
Yeah, I don't think so.
The guy, it was a couple episodes, a guy called in from Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And he was from Canada, and he was telling us about his experience.
Mm.
And he was saying, he said that his concepts, like his perception of God is that you can't leave God out of anything. He was saying that God, you can't separate God from nothing because God is everything. He created everything. And whether it's bad or good, whatever exists in what side, what God created, it's all God anyway. It's a part of this show. I wish you can go back. I think if you can actually listen to this show or fast
mm-hmm.
forward on the show, I think it's let me see if I can find which show it was. Because all I kept saying is I wish Michigan was on the phone right now.
to actually hear this conversation.
But you know what? When I look at the just the way that the Africans, the way they came up with their, you know, religious and spiritual thinking and stuff like that, it just makes sense because, in this sense, they looked at all of creation and looked for, they seen everything as an expression of the creative force. So now you're looking to how do these things relate, and then how do these things relate to us as humans? It's a holistic approach. So you can't get trapped up, you know. There ain't no trapped up. Oh, man, the sun is God. Oh, and so is the wind. Oh, man, the water is God. Well, so is the trees. Not that the trees is literally God, but you know what I'm saying? All of these are expressions of God. So where does this concept of putting one expression of the creative force over another? Where does that come from?
That's what we was talking about. And the name of the show that we did was called Why Your God and Not Mine.
Mm.
We did that last Wednesday, October 24th.
Okay.
That's one show. Man, I mean, if you ever get a minute or something, man, I want you to actually listen to that show.
Yeah.
If you go to the archives, it's called Why Your God and Not Mine.
Right.
And Nico, he does a show. He has a show on Blog Talk, too. Because I've seen he hit the thing, and I actually seen it. And you have a show on here, too, right?
Who, me?
Yeah, do you have a show on?
No, I don't. No, I don't have no show.
Okay. But it was a good episode, man, Why Your God and Not Mine.
Yeah.
That was a real good episode, man, for real.
So that's how you answer that, though, Minister. You're not gonna find that, you know what I'm saying, to try to nail it down to one deity or one phenomenon to say, okay, this phenomenon is over the rest of them and all of them fall under this one. You're just not gonna find it.
Mm.
You know.
Mm. Wow. That's deep, man. That's deep. I'm gonna tell you though, man. It's really the show. Just listening to different ones is really making the mind really actually just broaden your mind, man, and not being scared to actually, you know, get more information.
You know what? Let me say this, man, about because I told y'all, like, you know, I was born and raised in the church. One of the things, man, that one of the things why I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior when I did, because the preacher scared me. Man, I was so damn afraid to go to hell. I mean, I'm telling you, man, I used to dream about that when I was, you know, once they told me what hell was. You know what I'm saying? And if you don't get saved before you, you know, get the Holy Ghost and, you know, denounce all your sins, that drove me to the altar. Now, I ain't saying whether it was good or bad. I'm just telling you what drove me to the altar. But as I released myself of that fear, it's like my mind just said, you know, Once I released myself of that fear of going to hell, I think that's when I started. I was always studying, you know, stuff wasn't lining up and this and that, but still, I didn't want to go to hell. But once I was able to see that clearly, man, it just kind of did it for me. I don't even know how else to explain it. And then once I started studying, the concepts of hell and heaven and where they came from, and I was like, damn.
Wow. Wow. So all of a sudden, you rid yourself of the fear. We had a show on here too.
Yep, that did it.
I don't know if you called in on the show. Let me see, well, before you get off the line real quick, yep. I want to see if you were on this show right here. I think we had a show called, what was it? Come on now. Do you fear hell more than you fear God?
Mm.
That was Monday, October 8th, when we did that show. It was about, you know, are you in God now, or did you come more so of the fear of hell, or more than the fear of God?
Mm.
But I was going to name the show, Do You Fear Hell More Than You Love God?
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Do you, you know what I mean? Is it the fear of it that makes you do what you have to do? Or do you do what you have to do because you just love God? You know. So you said you came because it was the fear.
That was my, you know what I'm saying, my introduction to it. It was the fear of hell. You know, that's what got me to the altar.
Oh.
That's what got me to the altar, to confess.
And you know something, though? And this is something that's so crazy, because I even talked with, you know, brothers Aaron and you, that both, like, you were once really on the altar. You really prayed. You was really in your Bible. You was really studying. You really believed in, you know, the fruits of the Spirit and the move of the Holy Ghost and all of that, right? I've never asked you, and before I let you go, I just wanted to ask you this. What happened that actually made you go in a different direction?
See, the thing about me, and you did ask me this once before. See, the thing about me, this is one scripture. You know, it said, if you seek God, and I may not be quoting it right, you'll find Him. Seek and you shall find. And I think for me, man, it was more of the curiosity. I mean, when I was all in, brother, I was all in. I mean, sleeping with the Bible up under my pillow, burning up highlighters. I mean, I was all in. So I was really seeking this, you feel me? This God mm-hmm. that this Bible is talking about. I was all in. And so when you're all in like that, the Creator, He has a responsibility to reveal truth. He has to, because you know what I'm saying? I'm sincere. And so from that, I never just read the Bible, you see, because I was curious. What is truth, you see?
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I heard Minister Farrakhan on TV one time. I was like, man, you know, I like him. So I started getting a few of his, you see what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
So, you know, and then all of it just kind of started to gel, man, and then I was like, okay, that's cool. So, you know, certain stuff I just shared myself of.
Okay. I mean, it's just very interesting, you know what I'm saying, to actually, when someone was actually, you know, so rooted, and you said, listen, you know, you was very faithful in it, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I think I asked Aaron this question one time, too. I don't know if he said it on the show to you. If at the end of all of this, you actually seen that what you were doing was right, how do you think you would feel?
Well, I'm going to say this. At the time, I mean, you couldn't tell me that what I was doing was wrong. I still think at the time it was right. It was me. You feel me?
Okay.
It was
what
right.
I mean is, like, now as time go on, like, if what who you used to be was right, if you come to find out that really was right.
Now you're talking about beliefs, because I'm still, you see what I'm saying? I mean, if you ask me now, I'm going to tell you I'm still right now. You see what I'm saying? I feel like I'm right now.
But not from that angle, from a different
No,
angle.
Not with that belief, no.
But not with that no. belief. That's
no,
okay.
sir. No, sir.
Okay.
At this point in my life, yes, I see absolutely no need for that belief, none whatsoever.
But if no you belief. Found out that it was right, I'm just saying that, if you
right.
found out it was right and you are wrong now, how do you think it would make you feel?
Well, you know what, brother, because I've shared the fear, I'm like this now. If the Creator has brought me to this place to then turn around and say that this place is wrong for me, then I'm at His mercy. I just don't believe that's so.
Wow.
I never go back. I'm at His mercy. So whatever he will to do with me, do it.
I got you. That's honest.
Yep.
That's you can't get no more honest. You can't get no more honest than that. You know what I mean? Listen, Brother Matu, listen, I appreciate you every time you call on, man.
Yeah.
I always say I pray it's not the last time, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
We got a whole lot of more shows coming up. Different topics, dealing with other things. You know, it's not always just going to be about, you know, back and forth about, you know, the belief of this and the belief of that. It's going to be just a whole bunch of different things.
Okay, man, I appreciate talking to y'all. Yeah, we get into some more stuff, man. We can see if we can't do something about our communities.
Oh, yeah, and that's some things too, man. You know
yeah.
what I mean? I want to even talk about, you know, listen, all the young brothers, man, within ourselves that are just killing ourselves. Everywhere you look, it's a sheet up on the corner, a sheet up. In Trenton here, a lot of people, you know, get murdered and killed and stuff. They put sheets up on the gate, write names and things like that. And I'm just like, yo, what can we do, man? You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what's up.
You know, so many different issues, man, that we can really talk about.
Yeah.
To actually better us as a people, you know what I mean? And, you know, you're more than welcome to come on here with your ideas, man.
Yeah.
And help us, you know, dig into some stuff, man, face some things that we need to talk about.
Yeah, that's what's up. All right.
So until the next time, man.
Yep.
We'll be hollering at you, man.
All right.
Peace.
Yep.
Peace. Well, listen, God bless you all. This is Minister Jay Miller, the host of Dirty Church Radio. Stay tuned until our next episode. Be blessed.